I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Is that our theme? Redeeming love. The redeeming love. And then the next verse says, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor, whispering, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Is that our redeeming love? Is that our theme this morning? And to proclaim that until our tongue lies silent in the grave. I was just thinking of that as we sang that song. So ever since by faith, when we came to God and we became born again, is this our theme through life? Is to have this redeeming love on our mind and to speak it out in a nobler, sweeter song. I was just challenged with that, and I was asked to share a meditation regarding to the Lord's Supper this morning and to lead out on that. And so just wanted to share some thoughts that I had from Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 1, I was meditating on that some this morning about these spiritual blessings that the Lord has blessed us with in heavenly places in Christ. And as I thought about those, going over those, that brings us into remembrance of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us, what he is doing and will do for us. It's not just a thing about what he has done, but it's what he is doing and what he will continue to do. It was kind of, those three things kind of came to me as I was meditating through this morning. What he has done and what he is doing and what he will continue to do. So I'm going to read down through here and bring out a couple thoughts, starting here in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, one thing, as we go down through here, one thing that I want you to notice is that these spiritual blessings are not about us or any achievement that we have reached or anything like that or of that matter, but it is all of him or by him or for him. So I want you to notice that theme as we go down through here. It's everything about him. In verse 4, now he goes on to bring out some of these spiritual blessings. According as he hath chosen us, there it is, in him, not of us self. We haven't influenced God in any way to choose us, but he did it of, or in him, hath he chosen us, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, if we just stop and think about just that verse, he, that's God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created or laid out some over 6,000 years ago, he hath chosen us here that have given our lives to the Lord, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If we just think about that, lay aside the whole thing of salvation, what the Lord is, heaven or our inheritance, everything. Just lay that aside and just think about this thought that the Lord, before he created the world, that he had chosen a people. He had this planned all planned out, that he has chosen a people that would be holy and without blame before him in love. That's us. That was his plan. That thought, just right there, should move us greatly. Without even taking in consideration everything else that's going to follow here. Just that thought, that before any of this was created, the Lord had this plan, and he chose to have a people that would be holy and without blame before him in love, and that's us. That moves me just to think about that thought in itself, that we have such a God over us. But then he goes on, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So not only did he choose us, he predestinated all this, that he would adopt us into his family. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, because of the Lord Jesus, is why he is doing this. Adopting us as children to himself, that is, adopting us as into his family, into the family of God, children of God, if we can say it that way. So he chose us before the world was created, that we would be holy, without blame, before him in love, and adopted into his family, being children of God. That's amazing. Now, why does he do all this? Is it to make us happy? Let's look at the last part of that verse. According to the good pleasure of his will. Because it's his pleasure. It's his will. It makes him happy. It's not about us. In the least bit is it about us. This whole passage is about him, in him, for him, to the praise of his glory, it says multiple times. And I'm just amazed that the Lord takes such an interest in us that before the world was created, he had this plan in place to choose a people that would be before him holy, without blame, in love, adopted into his family, being the children of God, according to the good pleasure of his will. That should move all of us greatly. It does me. Makes me excited. And then it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved, I believe, is Jesus. It's the one that is loved. And because of Jesus and his sacrifice, the Lord hath made us accepted in that, if we're in Christ. And this is, again, I want to remind you this theme. It's about us being in Christ. Okay, if we're not in Christ, if we haven't been born again, this doesn't apply to us. But it can very easily. If you're sitting here and you're not born again, you can very easily have all this. We just have to believe in the Lord Jesus and repent. But in the beloved, he's talking about all this is ours in Christ, when we're in Christ. So he has made us accepted. He has accepted us. Not only are we everything that we've read here so far, adopted into his family, we're accepted. You know, I've just thought about it. Sometimes adoptions or, you know, blood adoptions, sometimes it's the acceptance part is a little hard in some of those. And I don't know. I've never experienced that. But sometimes adoptions and things, it takes a little bit for the acceptance for everybody to accept one another, I should maybe say. But here, we have been adopted in and accepted. That's a good feeling, that we have been accepted into the family of God in the beloved. And then he goes on, and now he talks about this salvation. In whom, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. That's talking about the Lord Jesus, the beloved. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And here's how we become this holy and without blame is by allowing the blood of the Lord Jesus to redeem us, to purchase us, and to forgive us and to clean us. And it's all about the Lord Jesus. It's nothing to do with us. Again, it's nothing that we have done that would even sort of influence the Lord to do this for us. It is because it was His will, His idea, His plan, and for His glory and honor, and according to the good pleasure of His will. That's what's amazing to me. You know, we're used to, when we do things around here, we kind of like when we come up with the idea, or this was my idea, or your plan, or, you know, we kind of organize this, or we kind of feel good about having ideas, good ideas and things. This is nothing like that. This is all the Lord. It has nothing to do with us. But we accept that from Him. So we do have a part in it. We accept it. But it's nothing that we do to earn this or influence God in any way to come up with this plan. But yet, we receive these blessings, these spiritual blessings. So then it goes on down. Verse 7, let me read that again. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. There again, just bringing out this idea, what I just talked about. It's all His idea, His good pleasure, nothing about us. But He made known unto us the mystery of His will, which is this whole, what we're just talking about. It's a mystery. It really is a mystery. We don't understand in our little human minds, we don't understand this mystery. But it says that He has made it known to us. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And then He goes on to explain it, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. And then He says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now this is another exciting point, I think. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So here again, it's His counsel, His will, His idea, nothing about us. But it says here that through in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Again, being predestinated or planned or chosen before the foundation of the world, according to His purpose, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. We should be to the praise of His glory, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now this is, I like this. After we believed, we heard the gospel, we believed, and the Lord gave to us the Holy Spirit of promise. And in verse 14, He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We just talked about the inheritance that we obtained. Now we're bringing that inheritance out and explaining it. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit as a, may we say, a down payment or a deposit. Or I thought of it this way this morning. When we, let's say we buy a house, okay? We go there, we sign a contract that says this is what we'll pay and all this, and we pay money down, a deposit. That's kind of what this is like. And this deposit and this contract hold everything until the day of closing. And then the day of closing is when the final transaction and everything takes place and you become the full owner. This is just an earthly explanation kind of how this is. So we have the Holy Spirit of God, and that is the down payment or the earnest, the deposit, the proof, or the, yeah, I guess that you'd say it that way, the proof that we are His, and we're waiting until the day of closing when we're going to, when the rest of the transaction is going to take place and we're going to be in heaven forever. We're with the Lord until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is us. And there again, unto the praise of His glory. And I just think this is just so exciting, you know, and it fitted so well with this morning, remembering the Lord's death, all because these blessings are ours, all because of the Lord's death, what He has done for us on the cross. It's all in Him. And yet, we experience all this, and we're a part of all this if we believe the Lord, if we have been born again and we're following the Lord. And I just thought this fitted so well into reminding us of the Lord and remembering Him. When we look at all these, and you know, I think sometimes we don't realize or maybe not grasp in full what these blessings are. Or maybe we do in part, maybe you do more than I do, but I think it's good to read this and to be reminded of them so that we can experience them in full. And I'm going to go on down through here and read the rest of this chapter. Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, and on down through here he prays that to the Ephesians that the Lord would open their eyes and give them knowledge of these things and that they would experience them. He says there in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." So Paul's prayer is to the Ephesians that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would see and understand these things. And then, this is another interesting thing to me here in verse 19 about this power. He says, and also, he prays also that, and that what, so they would see what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Have you ever thought about that? That the Lord, it says, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. He gives this power to us that according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, that He raised Him from the dead. So this same power that raised Jesus from the dead is what the Lord gives to us. That's pretty exciting. I think we need to realize that. I think for me, oftentimes, I just maybe kind of pass over that or, yeah, that's not really for me. But it is. It is. It says that Paul's prayer is that they would see this, that what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? That's Him giving it to us. who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so this same power is ours that raised Christ from the dead. Power to live a new life. And I was just so blessed by these spiritual blessings here. And I just pray also that we would experience these blessings more fully and understand them. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I pray that we would take these blessings to heart and that it would bring about a remembrance of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. So anyhow, I want to invite everyone that has been born again and you're believing in the Lord to participate this morning and partake of the Lord's Supper. And it says that by doing, partaking of the Lord's Supper, we do show forth his death until he come. And that means to proclaim. And that's why when I first came up here, that song that you picked, Brother Stephen, I had to think of that, redeeming love being my theme. And then also that other verse, let me find that again. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save, proclaiming the Lord's death. I believe that's what we're doing by partaking of the Lord's Supper, is we are proclaiming, we're showing forth something, we're proclaiming, this redeeming love is our theme, and we are singing out in a nobler, sweeter song by partaking of this, proclaiming the Lord's death. So I want to encourage everyone that is born again and believing in the Lord to participate. So, in Luke 22, verse 19, it says there that he took the bread and he gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. In other words, this bread resembles the Lord's body which was broken for us there on the cross. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. And so this morning we want to do that. We'll have a prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on this. And then if we could have a few brothers maybe help to pass this out. And maybe we could have a song while we do that. Would you please pick a song that would be appropriate for this? I didn't really pick one out, and maybe lead out on that. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can gather today and worship you in this way. And we thank you that you have chosen us before the foundation of the world to be before you, blameless, holy, and in love. And Lord, I just pray for all of us here that we would recognize these spiritual blessings that you have for us and receive them, Lord. And I pray that as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, that we would remember you in a very close and special way, what you have sacrificed for us, Lord, all for your pleasure and glory. And I just pray your blessing upon the bread. Lord, may we take it and remember your body, which was broken upon the cross for us. I pray that you would bless each and every one in this room. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And in the next verse in Luke 22, verse 20, he says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us, this redeeming love through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That cleanses us and forgives us and redeems us. Oh, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon everyone in this room. I pray, Lord, that we would partake of this cup and remember and never forget what your blood that was spilled upon the cross does, has done, and does for us. Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to clean us and work in us and pray your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have another song? Sure. We can have a couple brothers.
Amen. Let's remember the Lord's death,